You don't need to be a lawyer to benefit from a legal education, especially in human resources. At Texas A&M School of Law, we built our online Master of Legal Studies specifically to give non-lawyers like you a competitive edge. With a focus on HR and employment law policy and management, you'll gain a better understanding of the legal complexities every HR team faces. Get the legal skills it takes to get ahead in HR at Texas A&M School of Law. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more. If you need to know the law to advance your career in the healthcare industry, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, we offer a Master of Legal Studies with a focus on health law policy and management. It's specifically designed to help non-lawyers like you navigate the legal issues facing this heavily regulated industry. Gain the legal skills you need to advance your healthcare career from one of the most respected law schools in the nation. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
Okay, it's been over a week, so I think it's fair to have some discussions now about what happened in the 2022 midterms. Some contests are still undecided. Folks, let me just state for the record, we need to get out of election month. We need to get out of election season. We need to get out of this habit, which is a bad habit, which has been only the habit for the last couple of years of waiting interminable amounts of time to get results from elections. We should have results from elections on election night or election the day after election at the latest. This practice of allowing universal mail-in balloting, these drop boxes, all of this nonsense has got to stop. It undermines the confidence in our elections, and it leads to nothing but problems. So we've got to get rid of this stuff. We have got to start insisting that the elections mean something. We have to stop allowing the Democrats to say, well, if you believe in election integrity, that means that you're a racist. Screw you. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that at all. So all of that aside, let's have a look at what we just went through as a people. The 2022 midterms, where two-thirds of the American people believed we were heading in the wrong direction as a country, basically decided to keep things status quo. No referendum on Joe Biden, no referendum on the Socialist Democrat Party and all the harm they've done to us. That's what we're to believe. Now, there are some that are going to point to the elections. There are some that are going to point to the fact that, historically speaking, the Democrats should have been wiped out. And you're right, they should have been. But why weren't they? And can it all be blamed on elections? I don't think so. Because I think now is a fair time as any to have a look at what the Republicans were saying leading up to the 2022 midterms. Was the Republican Party providing an alternative to the Democrat Socialist Party? And I'm here to tell you, no, they were not. The leaders of the Republican Party, Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, were sending all manner of messages to the Republican electorate saying, you conservatives, you have no home here. You Republicans, you better vote for Democrats because that's what we do. Let me explain. Mitch McConnell thought the biggest threat to the United States was not all the harm being done to you and your family by Democrats. He thought the biggest threat was President Donald J. Trump. So he started banking candidates and individuals like Liz Cheney, like Lisa Murkowski, and others who were solidly anti-America First. As a matter of fact, Lisa Murkowski said she was going to be voting Democrat in the election. So the message being sent by the Senate minority leader was, and the leader of the Republicans in the Senate was, the best Republican is one who supports Democrats. Liz Cheney went out and campaigned for the racist in Arizona, Katie Hobbs. That's right. She thought it better to put a racist in the governor's mansion in Arizona rather than to see Carrie Lake, somebody who believes in standing up against illegal immigration, in the governor's mansion. And that was the message being sent. You had Adam crying Kinsinger all over CNN, decrying conservatives, blasting conservatives, and showing his love and support and devotion for Democrats. You saw Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins all seeming to basically say, hey, the best kind of Republican out there is one who sides with Democrats. By the way, no Democrat ever sides with a Republican. Never. Never happens. The best they do is leave their party, like Tulsi Gabbard. Then you have Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy, here's a guy who was wandering around the country in various interviews saying, I don't see a reason why we should be impeaching Joe Biden. Bear in mind that President Donald J. Trump was impeached by Democrats for allegedly withholding money that was congressionally approved for foreign aid to Ukraine. And what do we call this from Joe Biden when he was vice president?
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
Congressionally approved money that Joe Biden threatened to withhold if Ukraine didn't fire a prosecutor investigating his corrupt son's company. They impeached Donald Trump for doing that on a call that we saw the transcripts for, that frankly, there was none of that going on. Joe Biden actually did it. And Kevin McCarthy said, no, I don't want to impeach him for that. Even though President Trump was impeached. Alejandro Mayorkas goes on national television and before Congress and lies about the status of the border. Alejandro Mayorkas lied to Congress. And you've got Kevin McCarthy saying, oh, I don't think he should be impeached. What? Really? Lying to Congress is cool now with Kevin McCarthy, so long as it's a Democrat, right? Alejandro Mayorkas knowingly besmirched Latinos who worked on the border, saying they whipped illegal aliens, knowing full well they didn't. And Kevin McCarthy says, yeah, who cares? Just a bunch of Latinos. Who cares about Mayorkas lying and trying to destroy the careers and the lives of Latinos? They're just brown people. Isn't that right, Kevin McCarthy? Just brown people? What do you care? Why would you want to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas for knowingly lying about Latino border agents protecting our families in this country? So that was the message coming from the Republicans leading up to this midterm, which was, we're not going to fight Democrats. So, folks, as we're starting to see the numbers come in, it's starting to look like that no Republican was inspired by any of the Republican leadership. It looks like the Republican / conservative voters stayed away because there was no leadership. There was no promise of defending our families. There was no promise of defending the Constitution. There was no promise of defending the rule of law. There was no intent to stand up to Democrats being put out by the Republican leadership. So who the hell is going to vote for that? Now, in the great state of Texas, a different dynamic is emerging. The status quo is, in Texas, what you do when you're a Republican is you get elected, you say, I'm a Republican, I'm elected, now I'm going to give chairmanships to Democrats they didn't earn at the ballot box. And they call it tradition. Well, the mood of conservatives in Texas to be protected from Democrats, not empower Democrats to destroy our priorities and lives. The mood is there, and nobody wants to give Democrats any more power than they earned at the ballot box. We'll be talking about that next with a representative in the State House who wants to change all of that. Representative Tony Tinderholt up next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Why get your news from people who don't share your values? Get news stories from Texas Scorecard. We provide real news for real Texans. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
All right, my friends, time to get to our first guest, Representative Tony Tinderholt. He has been the conservative representative in District 94 and the State House for many, many moons. And congratulations to your representative and welcome back.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, and thank you.
You and I have an awful lot to talk about. First off, just give me your view from 30,000 feet up. The election returns not only in the state of Texas, but all over the country. Where are you?
You know, I'm surprised like most Republicans are. Everyone talked about the red wave, and it didn't come. And I just don't know if Republicans did not get out to vote. We did pretty well in Tarrant County, with the exception of some pretty important races that, you know, we were looking forward to. Andy Wynn, that race still hadn't been called. About 85% of the votes are in, and he's down by about 2 points. But we just expected some bigger wins across the country as well, and I think people are really surprised.
No, I'm really, really surprised too. You would have to believe that there are Americans, and maybe there are. There are Americans, there are Texans who say, yeah, high gas prices, woohoo, yeah. Empty store shelves and inflation and 6 million illegal aliens by the end of the year streaming into the country. And we love that. Give us more of that. I'm sure there are some out there, but I never believed it to be the lion's share. Representative Tinderholt, let me ask you about voting. I had J. Christian Adams on, as you know, formerly of the U.S. State Department. Or I'm sorry, the U.S. Justice Department, I should say, not the State Department, the Justice Department. And he said that the best voting system out there is paper balloting and machine tabulation. Why do you think Texas hasn't done anything to fulfill an obligation? Because it's fair to say a lot of Texans are suspect of the machine voting.
Well, I think it comes down to a lot of it is the legislature. And, you know, I think some people trust that system and some don't. But, you know, when you look at the ability to potentially cheat, when you are talking about a total electronic systems, I agree. I think that the system you're talking about is the safest and cleanest, provided there's people in the rooms to be able to watch what's happening and monitor from both sides. I don't understand it. I don't understand. That is beyond me at this point.
Yeah. Did you get the final analysis? This is something, a bit of information I did not get. Where was this midterm compared to the last midterm in 2018?
So I don't have those numbers yet. We were getting reports every day. It showed that we were lower than 2018, but I don't know what the final tally was. And, you know, like you had said earlier, you'd think that people would have gotten out to vote in larger numbers, strictly because of the economy, the border, people that own businesses can sit. Nobody wants to work right now. I mean, I'm totally surprised, caught off guard yesterday.
Now, Governor Greg Abbott is going to be returning to the governor's mansion. We're waiting eagerly to hear what the next office Robert Francis Beta O'Rourke is going to run for. Maybe president again, who knows. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick handily winning his race, as did Attorney General Ken Paxton. So there were a lot of bright spots in Texas, too.
Right, and I'm happy that every single one of them came across the line, and proud of the Republicans for coming out and voting. And, you know, during the primary season, we can fuss and argue with each other, but I was proud to see that people actually got out and voted, even if some of them may not have liked the candidate during a primary. It's super important that people got out and voted for the person on the Republican ticket. So I'm super happy that all of those three won their races yesterday.
Right, and at least Texas will be defended from the massive socialist onslaught that's coming from Beijing Biden and his ilk. Folks, we're talking to Tony Tinderholt. He's the representative who is a conservative representing District 94 in the Texas State House. You made some news before the election, and I want to get into this, and I want to tee it up with a question I already asked you, because basically delivering on a more reliable and big voting system that people can have a lot of confidence in hasn't been the priority of the Texas State House, the Texas House, or the Texas Senate in past elections. You have made an announcement that you are challenging Speaker Dade Phelan for the speakership. Is that kind of the reason why you're not seeing big, bold initiatives coming out of the Texas State House? And is that something you want to change?
Well, 100%. And I preface this every time someone asks. I can differentiate between personal and political slash the work that I do. And so I don't think for 1 minute that Dade's a bad guy. Dade is wonderful. He's a nice guy. His family's great. But I do not like what he's doing politically. We left a lot of stuff on the table. We have a Republican majority in the Texas House, the Senate, and we've got the governor. The Senate sends all the bills over, all the priorities over within the first 30 days. And then Dade Phelan has to placate the Democrats. He has to help them in any way necessary to stay in power. And so what he does is he makes sure that things that are important to Republican primary voters and children in Texas, we should have stopped gender modification last time. We should not have transgender folks in businesses where children are. Those should be considered sexually oriented businesses. We shouldn't have pornography in libraries. We should be stronger at the border. There's so many things that were left on the table, and now we're hearing that pro-life legislation may be clawed back, and we heard that from Dade Phelan. So there's so many reasons I could go on and on about why I'm running for Speaker of the House, but indeed I'm running, and I'm planning on discussing every day every single Republican priority across the board, and I think that's what people want. The constituents want that, and I hope that the state representatives across the state don't listen to what Dade Phelan's telling them, that they'll be punished and that they'll be held accountable if they don't vote for him. I hope that they have the courage to vote for someone that wants to push and press Republican priorities.
Well, he has, in his defense, he has been superior to past speakers. Joe Strauss and Dennis Bonin gave conservative talk radio and conservatives the middle finger. They delighted in it. They hate us with a passion. They don't. This idea of constitutional conservatism was such an affront to the little side hustle they had up there in Austin. So those Mitch McConnell type individuals just despise the conservative movement. And to Dade's credit, he has come on this show and he has taken our questions, and that is to his credit. Now, I find it interesting your last statement, Representative Tinderholt. You're saying that Representative Phelan, Speaker Phelan, is out there threatening to punish Republicans if they don't vote for him. That seems to be pretty strong medicine, and a lot stronger medicine than he gave Democrats after they abandoned the state of Texas and fled to Washington, D.C. If you're going to be strong with Republicans, shouldn't you be equally strong with Democrats?
Well, yeah, and you know, I'm hearing that because when I announced that I'm running for Speaker, I started making phone calls to talk to my peers, and strictly about the vote that's going to happen on a rule change for no Democrat chairs, which, by the way, passed Proposition 6 this year in the Republican primary with 81% of Republicans saying they don't want it.
Yep.
And he's allegedly telling members that I'm talking to that if they vote for that amendment or for that rule change, that he will look at that as a speaker vote, they will lose chairmanships and leadership, and they will not pass legislation. And that's not the kind of world that I think that reps should be living in. We represent 200,000 or so people. And when we go to Austin, when the speaker tells you what to do, that's kind of like a unilateral decision. It's someone that's being a dictator and telling you what will happen, and you're not able to represent your 200,000 constituents. Now, the second part of that question was talking about punishing Democrats. I was at the front mic almost every day during special session trying to get him and the parliamentarians to hold the Democrats accountable. And at one point, I was actually able to be recognized to do a call of the House. But, you know, the day that the Democrats got back, he was hugging them on the House floor, taking pictures. And, you know, when I look at the amount of money, let's look at the money, let alone the fact that they weren't at their place of business where their duty was. $221 a day at 12 days, that's $2,500, over $2,500, which in Texas is considered a state jail felony. And so I look at it that they committed a crime. But instead, the current Speaker of the House is hugging Democrats. And where we haven't even talked about how they thwart and stop and hold back Republican priorities every minute of every day.
Well, that's going to be where my next question is going. Tony Tinderholt is our guest, folks. He is the representative, the conservative representative of District 94 in the Texas House. I don't know where this idea originated that Democrats deserve more power than they've earned at the ballot box. But I do know and understand that, and you already mentioned the life issue, some Republicans like Karl Rove have said, slaughtering babies is popular, so let's continue it. Let's adopt that as Republicans. And you've got individuals who want to allow Democrats to kill education reform, to continue to allow the worst mistake this country's ever made, which was to allow government to educate our children. They want to continue that. So they put Democrats who are solidly on board with sacrificing the next generation to left-wing extremism, communism, this LGBTQ, ABCD, EFG, cultural Marxism, the Common Core, and the critical race theory stuff, sacrificing our kids on that altar. They're perfectly comfortable that because that's what Democrats do. So the Democrats are able to kill and do the will of the Republicans in the name of Democratism. And they shouldn't be allowed to do that because they're not in the majority. Is that fair for me to say?
It is. And, when we talk about them not being in the majority, last time this came up, I voted for the rule change. I was one of a handful of people. But this time, as a state representative, I plan on voting for it. As a candidate for Speaker of the House, I can't say exactly what I will or will not do, who I will or will not appoint, and the people that you will choose to work on your team. But I will tell you, as a member of the Texas House, I supported that last time. I'll support it this time. We had some people that spoke against stopping Democrat chairs last session. And I think some of those people might change their mind now. One of the folks said that we don't want, several of them mentioned that they don't want Austin. They don't want the capital in Austin to become like Washington, D.C. But I'm sorry, folks, it already is.
Yep.
After we did that vote last session and after the Democrats left, they got in an airplane with beer. Where did they go? They went to see Schumer. They went to see Pelosi. They were in Washington, D.C. And you can't get the work for Texas done outside the Texas Capitol. They were in Washington, D.C. That's where they went. They're already pushing the same issues that the Democrats in Washington, D.C. are pushing. And so I voted for that amendment or that rule change, and I'll vote for it again.
And also, physically speaking, Austin is now just like Washington, D.C., Representative Tinderholt. You've got massive crime. You've got massive homelessness. And, this is the consequence of Republicans saying that Democrats deserve more power than they earned at the ballot box by giving them veto power over the Republican agenda as chairman. And that is wrong. It is anti-American. It is anti-Texan. And it ought to stop. And the idea that it's tradition, it dates back to the 1970s, and it was a token. And it was done as a token to try to stop the demographic shift that ultimately led to the Republican takeover of Texas. It was done to placate. It wasn't done out of some Texas tradition. And it's about time we got real about what this is. I'm tired of Republicans who may not want to be conservatives using Democrats to defeat conservative agenda items that the people voted for. Taxpayer-funded lobbying, school choice, parental school choice. Go down the whole list. Tax relief. It's tired. Now the people know the game, and the game's up, in my opinion. Last word for you.
Well, I'm going to be reaching out to the Republican members of the Texas House while the speaker's talking to Democrats and Republicans. I'm going to reach out to every single Republican in the Texas House and try to garner support. And I would tell your listeners, if you have a state rep that you want to vote a certain way for Speaker of the House, you need to tell them. You got to reach out to their office, email them, call them, and tell them exactly what you expect, because this is the biggest inside baseball thing that happens in the Texas Capitol, is voting for the Speaker. Nobody really knows much about it. But last time I checked, your state representative, including me, we work for 200,000 people in the area. And last time I checked, the speakership really shouldn't have a whole lot of power. They should be the administrator of the rules across the board, running the House floor, appointing chairmen, doing all those sorts of things. And the hierarchy should not be that the speaker's at the top. The speaker should be serving the servant of 149 members while we all serve about 200,000 people. And it's flip-flopped. It's the other way around right now. And if I win the speakership, I guarantee you that that speakership position will be decreased in power significantly. And I'm asking you one more time, reach out to your state representative. Tell them what you want. Tell them who you want for Speaker of the House.
In my humble view, folks, it is not a Republican's job to give Democrats more power than they earned at the ballot box. Mitch McConnell thinks that's a Republican's job. Mitt Romney thinks that's a Republican's job. But I, your liberty-loving Latino, do not, and I don't think Representative Tony Tinderholt believes that either. District 94, folks, in the Texas House. And if folks want to help you out, Representative Tinderholt, is there a website they can go to get behind your efforts?
Yeah, that should be out this week, and we'll push that out to you. We should have something by the end of the week for Tinderholt for Speaker, but we will push that out to you, sir.
Tinderholt for Speaker, when it gets up and running, folks, you'll be able to find it on a general web search. Sir, appreciate the time.
Thank you.
I think what it boils down to, folks, is being a Republican has to mean something again. Right now, there is no such thing as the Republican Party. There are only varying degrees of Democrat. And if we're going to have an actual debate in this country, if we're going to preserve the Constitution of the United States, we're going to have a party that actually stands up for the Constitution and the rule of law. That used to be the Republican Party. But now, as I said, folks, we've got to start having that debate and insisting that debate takes place. And in all candor, one of the last places it can take place is the great state of Texas, Florida as well. That's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor. Visit a couple of websites for me, will you please? First one is TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. All the news that impacts Texas. And if it impacts Texas, it will impact the United States. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you can track down the Chris Salcedo shows. The radio show is on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. There's an app for that so you can hear it all over the country. We also stream live on Getter and on Rumble. And then also on Newsmax TV, 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 5 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday, always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me. In short, we the people. See ya.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice of the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.